Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nidah Daf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 8 lines from the top of Daf Mem Beis. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where we pick up on one of the features of the Shas Ozer, where we supply topic headings and structural notes as needed. In this case, under our topic heading, which we call the Nosei, we have written She'elas Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna. The Gemara will present a question of Rav Shmuel's. Poiletis Shichva Zera, a woman who, after experiencing intimacy and absorbing within her body Shichvas Zera, semen from the husband, and now she discharges the semen. Roya Havya, is she considered a Roa, a woman who experiences sighting of Tuma, Oy Noigas Havya, or is it a function of contact? And there are halachic differences between whether you categorize something as a Roya or a Noigas. Let us see the Gemara. Vomine Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Me Abaye. Poiletes Shichva Zera, Roya Havya Oy Noigas Havya. The woman who discharges the Shichva Zera, is she categorized as a Roya or a Noigas? Nafgamina, the halachic differences between these categories are as follows. 3 points of difference. Listor, Ulatame Bemashihu, Ulatame Bifnim Kibachutz. Listor is a situation of undoing. In other words, if a woman, let us say, is counting clean days from having experienced a zava blood flow, and she needs to have clean days, would the sighting of or the discharge of shichva zera create a stira or an undoing of the counting that she was in the midst of? If you say it's a roya, so the shichva zera plita, the discharge, would serve to be soisa, would undo, she would lose time from her clean day counting schedule. If it's a noigas, so it would have no effect. It would be tantamount to a woman who is experiencing the clean days and then touches a dead sheretz, which would, of course, have no effect on her counting. The second nafkamina is the tamid b'mashu, in terms of, is there a quantity of fluid that needs to be discharged in order for us to declare her tamea? If she is a roya, so then there is no quantity. Even a mashihu is metama. If it's a noigas, then there is a quantity that would be required. And finally, letame bifnim kibachutz would be, is she considered tamea even before the substance actually leaves her body? Would she be tamea bifnim when it's still inside of her, namely it's about to come out, it's on its way out, but it hasn't actually come out, kibachutz, as if it had already come out? So the question has been raised. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and it's indicated, the length of this is indicated by an extended vertical dash dotted line, which shows how long the bracketed section is. And after the brackets, we already encounter the answer, where you see, if you skim down the page, you see Omar Le, Abaye answers Roya Havya. And at that point, you'll also see a double underlining featuring the word Roya, whereby a number of Rabbonim give the same answer as to Rav Shmuel's question. Within the brackets, we have a note on the inside margin where we have where there's a star, and it says Mevarer Ma Habosis Shel Shelaso. That's mainly within this, the sograyim, tochas sograyim, it's where mevarer the more was mevarer what is the basis of the question. But as we said, the structure of the Gemara is the question is raised, and after the brackets you get the answer. So now, that having been said, we will glance into the bracketed section. And the Gemara asks, Monafshach, you who are asking the question, either way, Ishmia le Masnisen, if he heard the Tanaic source back on Mem Aleph Amid Beis, so then it would be obvious. L'Rabbona Roya Havyo, L'Rabbi Shimon Nogaz Havyo. Back on Mem Aleph Omid Beis, there was a Tanaic source. We have a little arrow in the space immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you try to align this arrow with a parallel arrow on Mem Aleph Omid Beis, you'll notice there is a Tanaic source which darshaned the word Bivisora. And in that source, it mentioned that Melamed She Mitama Bifnim Kibachutz, and it said Poletas Shifa Zera Minayin in that source on Mem Aleph Amid Beis. So the Tanakama held that Poletas Shifa Zera is Mitama Bifnim Kibachutz. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, in that source said no, Daya Kiboyala, that she is not any different than the one that had relations, had the actual intimacy with her, where the man is Tomei only when it exits the body. So you have a machloikis tanoim, and hence the question of Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, if he was aware of that source, would have been readily answered as simply the issue is a machloikis tanoim. And that's what the Gemara says over here. The Rabbonan Roya Havi, according to the Rabbonan that says that the Poiletes Shif Mazer is Netame Bifnim Kibachutz, that there is already tuma when it's still internal, that is the opinion of Rabbanan. Hence, we see she would be considered a roya. Ula Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says daya kiboya law, namely that she's not tamei until the shifazer exits her body. Noigas havya, she would be categorized as a noigas. The e loy shmiya le masnisen, and if Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna was not familiar with that Tanaic source, then he still should not have had a question. Mistapro noigas havyo. Logically, one would have concluded that she is a nogas. Very simply, because the woman who's exuding or discharging the shikh bazera, it's not a discharge that emanates from her own body, as is the case with nida or zava. It's a substance that she absorbed from an outside source, namely the husband. And as such, the shikha zera, being that it's not coming from her, so we can't categorize it as a roa, a woman who sees a bodily discharge. It's not her bodily discharge. Hence, on a logical basis, one would have called it a roya. Once again, no room for a question. So the Gemara goes on to explain what the basis of Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna is, and you'll notice we have a diamond with a Roman numeral to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we feature a Roman numeral 1 and 2 with the diamond. Shnei Lishoinus, there are two versions. Im Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Hikir Es HaBraisa, the Liel Mem Aleph and Beis, did he, in fact, was he aware of that Braisa that we just noted? Shehikir and Machlekes Chachamim Rabbi Shimon beinyan Poiletes Shikh Vazera. Was he aware of the brisa that featured this particular, that Shehizkir, I should say, Shehizkir Machlekes Chachamim Rabbi Shimon that made mention of that particular Machlekes Tanoim? So the Gemara answers. We go back into the Gemara. Li'olom Shmuel Masnisen. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna was aware of that Tanaic source. The alibo de rabbonon lo call mibayale, and in fact, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, asking his question about a poiletes shikh bazera, is she a roya or a negas? He's not asking his shita within the shita of the rabbonon of that Tanaic authority, who holds that she's tmeya bifnim kibachutz. According to the rabbonon, it's clear that it's mitame b'mashihu, and it will be soiser as she is clearly a roya. The question that Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna is asking is within the Tana Rabbi Shimon. And as far as that particular aspect, whether she's tame, is she tame when it's still within her, as if it exited, that's also not a point of question, because he knows that Reb Shimon holds it's not metame bifnim kibachutz. Ki komi bayalei, Reb Shmuel Bar Bisma's question is, within the Tana Rebbe Shimon, is it listor uletame b'chol shehu mai? Is the poletta shichva zera soser the nikiyim that she may be counting, and is it metame even if it's a mashehu in amount? And now the basis of the question: Ki ka'amar Rabbi Shimon daya kevo'alo, that which Rabbi Shimon said in the source on Mem Aleph Amid Beis, that let us treat her no different than the one that had the intimacy with her. Hani mili v'tmuye b'fnim kebachutz. That is only insofar as the issue of her becoming tomei while it's still inside of her, namely that she does not become tomei, no different than boyalo. But as far as these other aspects, maybe it is soser, and maybe it will be metama even if it's a minuscule amount. Or maybe on those two additional points also, we make no difference. In other words, just like we say she's not metama bifnim kibachutz, also it will not be soser, and also it will require a shi'ur. So that's his question, and we're not giving an answer to that at this point. Iko di Amri, another version of this is Le'olam lo shmiel le'masnisa. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna was not familiar with that Tanaic source, v'hochi k'ma v'ole, and thusly his question is to be stated. From the fact that the Torah, Rachmon is the Torah or the Almighty, was stringent with regard to Bali Karyan, people, men that had experienced an ejaculation of semen before the giving of the Torah, they were told to distance themselves from the Mount Sinai where the Torah was given. We don't find any of the other types of tumah being warned in the same way as the Baal Keri. So it could be that from the fact that it says by the Baal Keri, a special warning with regard to the Baal Keri, as opposed to other tumas. So it must be that we treat them as a roya, roya meaning with the more serious scale of tuma ruling. Oy dilma lo gamrina mi Sinai, or it's possible that we don't use Mount Sinai as a precedent to establish halachas in other areas. Deha zavin umutzoroyin dechamiri velo achmi behu rachmona. For behold, there were also at the time of the giving of the Torah people that were zavin or mitzorim, which are more chomor, a more serious type of tuma than valkeri, and the Torah didn't express any particular stringency with regard to them. So that we see the whole Torah giving aspect doesn't follow the Torah giving experience at Mount Sinai doesn't follow the standard approach that we adopt to matters of Tumah and Tahara, and therefore we don't learn from it to other areas. So the question has been raised, the Poileta Shifma Zera, is she categorized as a Roya or as a Noigas? Amale, so Abaye says, Roya Havya. She is a Roa. Asio Shaile Lerova, the other Girsos that have Leraba instead. Amale, Roya Havya. And Rabba answers, she is a Roya. Aso Kame de Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna comes to Rav Yosef and asks him the question. Amale, Rav Yosef says, Roya Havya. Three leading Rabbonim give him the same answer. Hodor also lekame da Abaye. Rav Shmuel comes back to Abaye after having been by Rabba and Rav Yosef, and he comments, Omar le kuchu beroiko chado tafisu. Are you all saying, now here we're not giving a literal translation, but the expression means, as Rashi says, you all have the same tradition? Are there no other opinions? Omar le, so Abaye says, Shapir Amri Loch, they say very well. Ad kan lokum Rabbi Shimon dayok kevoyla. Up till now, Rabbi Shimon mentioned that the poiletes shichvazera is not to be viewed any more stringently than the man that had the intimacy with her. Elo letami bifnim kibachutz. Only with regard to that, that she's not tamei until it actually exits her body. Abolisto letami b'kol shu roya hafia. But with regard to those other aspects, she is like a roya, and therefore it will be so ser, and therefore and as well any small amount will affect her, which are characteristics, as Rashi points out, that are present by boya law as well. So that by saying daya kaboya law, and mentioning that it's soiser and it's also metame kol shehu, is in lines with categorizing her as we would the man. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that features different types of tuma: hanido, v'hazova, v'hashemeres yoyim keneged yoyim, v'hayoyledes kulon metamois b'fnim kibachutz. Different kinds of women. The first three are, Gemara says, Bishlamo kulhu l'chayi. The first three, the Nida, Zov, and Shemeres Yom, are l'chayi, fine, good. You know, as we can understand what that is, namely that a woman who is about to experience Nida, even if the blood doesn't exit her body, or the Zova, which also is an issue of blood, a blood discharge, or the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, is a woman that after she had a singular Ziva sighting, or even a double Ziva sighting, she has to keep a clean day afterwards. And if she has a discharge on that day, she will be Tamea. And as the source says, Bifnim Kibachutz, even if the blood discharge doesn't exit her body. However, the Gemara goes on to say, Elo Yoledes, but the issue of the Yoledes, what's the issue? What's the question? E bime nido nido, e bime ziva ziva. The Yoledes will fall under one of these pre-existing categories. Namely, if she is a woman who's about to give birth and she has a blood discharge, and it comes out during her Nida days, so we know she's categorized as a Nida. If it comes out during her Ziva days, she's categorized as a Zava. So what is exactly the question that you're asking when you raise the issue of Yoledes? Or what is meant by, why does this list add Yoledes when it's already obvious she's part of one of the pre-existing categories? Loi tzricha. So here you'll notice we have a geometric form, and on the outside margin we feature the explanation behind this shape. The Nosei Mivne heading has the following. These shapes introduce nisyonos lehasbir. These are attempts to explain ha dikotoni v'hayoledes kulon metamois bifnim kibachutz. We're focusing on the issue of the Yoledes, that she also has this characteristic of metamois bifnim kibachutz. So you see, approach number one appears here, and when we get to Mem Beis, Amid Beis, you'll notice several lines from the top, a second approach. As we enter the first approach, so there is an attempt to explain it, but then the Gemara is going to derail this explanation, and hence there'll be a need for the second explanation that we see at the top of Mem Beis Amid Beis. So the Gemara explains, Loi Tzricha, this case of Yoledes needs to be taught under the following circumstances. Shiyorda lipo mituma litara. You have a woman that gave birth to a female child. After 2 weeks of the 2 weeks following the birth, for 2 weeks following the birth, she's tamea. After that, she goes to mikveh, and then for the next 66 days, any blood she experiences will be blood of tahara. We have discussed these issues in the past, so we're not going to elaborate on the background again this time, thus being aware that there's a transition period from the first 2 weeks till the period after those 2 weeks. She now is on her way, she's on her way to mikveh, and we're focusing on that particular point in time. Rashi adds that in analyzing this Gemara, we also want to cite that we're following Shitas Beis Hillel, that says that there is no tahara, a woman doesn't achieve the tahara characteristic of the days following the first 2 weeks unless she also goes to mikveh. In other words, the mikveh is an essential element in her achieving the tahara, and not just the transition of time from day 14 to day 15. The Gemara continues, v'chi ha'di amar Rabbi Zeira, and the practical application of this particular case of her going to the mikveh is like the teaching of Rabbi Zeira, who quotes Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav, yoledes shiorda litbo mituma litara. A woman who had given birth, who is descending into the mikveh to experience the transition from tuma to tahara, v'nekar mimeno dam, and she experiences a blood flow, but it's internal at this point. As Rashi says, the blood enters the base hachitzon. That's an internal area after the womb or after the uterus, before it exits the body. So the nekar mimeno dam is a reference to that particular point where it's nekar la base hachitzon, and it remains there for a day or two. So now the Gemara explains bi yirida tamea. If that blood flow or initial part of blood flow took place before she got to the mikveh. So tamea, the blood itself. We're talking about the blood itself will be tamei as long as it is inside of her. In other words, the mikveh immersion won't be effective on this blood that was nekar mimeno, where the discharge started before she got to the mikveh. Ve'aliyah, if this nekar mimeno dam phenomenon took place after she rose from the mikveh, then tohor, then that blood, the blood substance itself is tohor. So we're not focusing so much on the status of the woman, but we're focusing on the blood substance. So the braisa above that said yoledes is metamas bifnim kibachutz is dealing with this particular case. Now, at this point in the Gemara, we're starting a process whereby we're going to derail this as an analysis of the source. And hence, eventually, we will have to come up with a new explanation of the source. Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Zeira, "Biyarida amai tameya? Why do we say that there is tuma in the case of a discharge before she got to the mikveh? Tuma blua hi. The blood is balua, means it's absorbed within the woman. Looking at the Rashi, tuma bluahi, before we go any further, we had mentioned that the issue concerned the blood that became discharged as being tome, and naturally, and we didn't say this before, but if the blood is categorized as tome, the assumption was that blood would be metama, the woman. If the blood became ne'ekra mimeno after she was in the mikveh, so it would have no effect on her because it would be considered tohor. Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, even if you say the blood is tome, but it's not going to metama the woman, the woman's not affected. It's tuma blua. It's tuma that's absorbed within her, and something that's tome but absorbed within the person does not communicate tuma. So she will not become tamea. If we look in the Rashi, he gives some background to this. Tuma blua hi. Rashi says the kaimelum beperek behema hamakasha. The Gemara Maseches Chulin says tuma blua eino metama lo b'magav lo b'maso. When something is in a state of blua, absorbed within, it does not communicate tuma, not through contact nor through carrying. V'hocha ha tuma blua hi. This is an example of absorbed. It's absorbed within her body. V'lo damya l'chol hanoshim shemetamus v'sachitzon. And it's not parallel to women that when, like a nida, when the blood enters the base hachitzon, even though that's also absorbed, that she does become tomei. The hasamishum riya, the case of nida or zava, is a tuma experience that we saw before in our Gemara categorized as riya. That's Re'iyahi, the Tumas Shiva, and it's also a 7-day Tumah when we speak about a Nida or a Zava Gedoyla, the Rachmona Omar Bivisora. And there you have a special scriptural reference, the word Bivisora, Mechi Osa Bebeis Chitzon, Havyeriyah. When it enters the Beis HaChitzon, it's called a Re'iyah. Aval Hocha, but in our discussion, when we're talking about the blood that came, that was Nekarimena during her first 14 days before she got to the mikveh, that's Mishul Masa, that's a function of her supporting or carrying around the substance that is Tomei. Unegiyohi, the Tumas Erev. There, you're dealing with contact with a Tomei substance, namely that blood that's from the first 14 days, and then in the worst case scenario, her contact with it would result only in a 1-day Tuma till the evening. The Imi Shum Re'iyah, if you were to think of it as Re'iyah, Me'esmul Akir, Me'esmul Havi Re'iyah, Uveriyah de Me'esmul Mahani Loho Itno. And as far as a Re'iyah of the before the 14th has no effect on her regarding the time after the 14th. The Me'es Mahavi Lemei Tumah, Vahashta Havi Lemei Tohar. Yesterday was part of the Yemei Tumah, and now, after, you know, the day 15, it's Yemei Tohar. The Tumah Belua, Lo Matamim B'mag V'masa. And Tumah Belua, when Tumah is in a state of concealment, so it's, or absorbed, we should say, when it's in a state of being absorbed, it doesn't communicate Tumah through contact nor through carriage. So Rabbi Yirmiyah's question to Rabbi Zeira is, what practical difference does it make whether or not the dam was nekar, namely, even if it was nekar before the tevila, the woman will remain tahora. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Zeira says back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zil Shailei the Rabbi Ovin. Why don't you go ask Rabbi Ovin your question? The Asbris Nihalei, I gave him a hezber for this. I told him about this. The Kakishli Bereshe Bered Midrash, and he nodded in consent in the base medrash to my explanation. Ozal Shailei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah went to Rabbi Ovin. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Ovin told him, Asua Kinevelas Oif Tohor. The Rabbonon made a ruling concerning the blood of the woman during the Yoledes that was Nekar before she got to the mikveh, and they say we view it as we view Nevelas Oif Tohor. Shemetama Begonem Bebeis Habliyah. Another example, or say the Doraisa example, of something that is metame when it's in a state of balua. Let's just say a word about this. The Nevelas Oif Tohor is the carcass of a dead kosher variety bird, not to be confused with an unkosher variety bird, but this is the carcass of a dead kosher variety bird, where there's a scriptural teaching that it would metame, it communicates tumah to a person while he is swallowing it. That's called beis hablio, while he is swallowing it, and it's metama the person and the clothing that he is wearing at the time. So the Rabbonin made a ruling concerning this dam shenekar during the Yemei Tumah before the woman got to mikveh, and we declare the lady Tameo, like the Torah, is metama a person who is swallowing the Velas Oif Tohor. So that's what Rabbi Zeira had explained to Rabbi Ovin, and that should serve to answer Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. However, Rabbi Yirmiyah is not satisfied. He asks, Mi Domi, how can you compare the two? Hossam, we continue at the top of Mem Beis Omid Beis. Hossam Ein Lo Tuma Bachutz. In the case of Nevelas Oif Tohor, it is something that has no tumah on the outside. Namely, if a person touches the carcass of a dead kosher variety bird, he does not become tameh. There is only one case that a person becomes tameh, and that's through the swallowing of Nevelas Oif Tohor. Haha, in the case of the blood, kinofik lebaroi litmi, when it exits her, when the tameh substance, when this tameh blood exits her, so then let it be metamah her, and not when it's in a state of balua. it might be said that in the case of Nevela Sof Torah, so that's there's a one-time chance for Tuma to arise, and that's when the person is swallowing it. In the case of Tomei blood, why do we have to impose a Gezerah on it, making it like Nevela Sof Torah, when there's another opportunity for Tuma to be manifest, and that's when it comes out? So So Rav Yirmiyah is answered, Rabbi Ovin or Rabbi Zeira would answer, Hachanami, in fact, the case of the woman that was the case of the Dam Shenekar that Rabbi Zeira taught regarding the Yoledus Shiyar B'Likbol, and it said, Nekar Mimeno Dam, and he said, Biyarida Tameah, this is what he had said four lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph, Biyarida, if it was Nekar from her before she got to the mikveh, Tameo, she will become Tameo when the blood exits her body. Now, we have to emphasize over here, at this point, that the whole Tumah that Rabbi Zeira spoke about was only when it exits her body. Hence, we cannot use this anymore as an explanation of the source that we featured on Amud Aleph, where it had said, Vayadi Vayoledis is Metamas Bifnim Kibachutz. There, the source spoke about Bifnim. Here, we're talking about the Tumah is only Kishiyotza Lachutz. So, as we mentioned before, that first crown shape answer would be derailed. You see, at this point, we are doing that. The Gemara goes on to ask, "I yotza lechutz mai lemeira?" If the din of Rabbi Zeira is that the tumah of the woman will be only when it exits her body, well, what do we need to be taught that for? That would seem to be very obvious. So the Gemara says, "Mahu detema?" One might have thought, without this teaching, migu de mahani tvila ladam de iko gavoi, since the immersion in the mikveh is effective in being metahir, the blood that is still inside of her, tahani nami lehai, let it also be effective for this, the dam that was nekar, and oime bebeis hachitzoin. Komash molon, so Rabbi Zeira is telling us that the effectiveness of the mikveh isn't that great, doesn't go that far to metahir even the blood that is in the base hachitzon. It'll metahir the internal blood that hasn't started flowing from her, that will eventually flow during the Yemei Tahara from day 15 onwards, but not the dam that was nekar on day 14 before immersion in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, Shmeisen Ifrik. We explained the din of Rabbi Zeira. We explained him from beginning to end, so that the Rabbi Zeira's teaching, the din of Rabbi Zeira Ifrik, has been answered. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiyah had raised the question, well, what about the Tumah Blua aspect? And we answered, okay, it's not Metama when it's in a state of Blua, it's Metama only when it's released. However, Elo Yoyledes, but going back to the Braisa that spoke about the Yoyledes being Metame Bifnim Kibachutz, emphasis on the word Bifnim, that the Yoyledes experiences Tuma when still inside, well, why do you have to ask about a Yoyledes? In other words, if we're assuming the case of Yoyledes was a woman who is about to give birth, but she sees blood, so I bimei nida nida, I bimei ziva ziva, if it's during her nida days, so she'll be classified as a nida. If it's during her ziva days, she'll be classified as a zava. Why does the Braisa add the category of Yoyledes when nida and ziva are already stated? The Gemara answers that the Braisa there is talking about something completely different. Hocha b'mayaskinon b'leido yaveshta. The case there is speaking about a birth without any blood accompanying it. There's no nida and there's no zava. So the Gemara asks, leido yaveshta may metame b'fnim ki b'chutz iko? If you're talking about a bloodless the child delivery, a leido yaveshta, so what is the issue of tumah bifnim? What's there to talk about that she's tameya when something's still inside as if it's outside? The Gemara answers, and this is a long answer. You see, we have a long answer marking the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines form the answer. Before we go on, we also have a little topic heading on the outside margin, the nosei, Yoledes mitama bifnim kibachutz, a woman giving birth can experience tuma inside as if it's outside, kagoyin shahitzi vlad roishichutz leprozdor. An example of this would be a child in the birth canal where its head leaves the prosdar. The prosdar being one of the stages of exit from the uterus, the organ in which the child develops. It then, in the birth canal, it enters the birth canal, and if its head leaves the area called the prosdar, bearing in mind we're still internal, if you will, but it's left the prosdar location, that will be considered its birth. And at that point, the lady will be considered Tamea Tumas Leida. So a Yoledis is Mitama Bifnim. The Yoledis is Mitama, her Tumas Leida, the Tuma associated with simple giving of birth. Nothing to do with blood flows. At what point? Bifnim. When the head of the child has left the prosdar, but it's still internal, as if the child completely emerged. And here we continue now in the Gemara. Kegoin shehoitzi vlad roishoy chutz leprosdar. The case is where the child's head emerged from the prosdar. If we look at the Rashi, a couple of lines down from here, kegoin shehoitzi vlad roishoy chutz leprosdar veoilid, and gave birth. The Ka'omar, and we are taught, the Afagab da Kati Roshi Bifnim Hu, even though the head is physically inside of the woman's body, the Hainu Beveis Hachitzon, the head left the prosdar and is in the Beis Hachitzon, that location that we've made reference to before. In fact, in one of our earlier, a couple Dapim ago, the Gemara asked, Hechidomi Beis Hachitzon, we saw several different opinions. So the head of the baby has reached the Beis Hachitzon. Haviki Yolud, the woman is considered as having given birth at that point, Tamea Leida, and she is Tamea as a Yoledes. Ucherav Oshaya, based on his teaching, Diamachus the prosdor Vlad Havi, when the head leaves the prosdor area and enters the base hachitzon area within the mother is at that point Tamea as a Yoledis. And that's what was meant in the source, in the Tanaic source on Omid Aleph, that mentioned that the Yoledis is Tamea Bifnim Kibachutz. The Gemara continues. Ucher Rav Oshaya, the Omer Rav Oshaya, Gezeiro Shemo Yoitzi Havlad, Roishoy Chutz Leprozdar. Rav Oshaya is a teaching that's found in Maseches Chulin, that speaks about a midwife that inserts her hand into a woman giving birth, and we say that the ubar, the fetus, is dead inside of the mother, and the midwife touches it, so the midwife will become tamea, even though the vlad may be still quite a way inside the mother. And upon asking the question that we raised before, but isn't it Tuma Blua? How does something Blua communicate Tuma? So Rav Oshaya says that that particular teaching in Chulin is a rabbinic ruling for fear of the midwife touching the Vlad when the baby's head actually leaves the prosdar. At that point, it wouldn't be considered Balua anymore, and she'd be Tamea even Midoraisa. So we see from that discussion, from Rav Oshaya's discussion concerning the midwife that extended her hand way in and becoming Tomei on a rabbinic level, as the Gemara says here, Gzeiro Shemo Yotzi Havlad Roshe Chutz Leprozdar, where Metama, the midwife, in anticipation of her touching the baby's the dead child when it reached the base Hachitzon, at which point that would be considered really outside, even though physically it's not outside the mother's body, but it's outside enough to be considered non-bolua anymore, at which point we are saying the mother is a Yoledis. And here we have a Maisa, a story that we've indicated its length by the long marking that you see on the intermediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines form the story, which also backs up that which we are saying now. V'chi hahu d'yosel kamei d'rova, and a similar consideration arose concerning a man that came to Rava Amale. The man asked Rava, Mahu v'mel v'shabata, is it mutter to do bris milah on Shabbos? Amale shapir domi, Rava said to the man, yes, it's allowed. Basar denofik, after the man left Rava, Amar Rava, sakadet ugabra lo yada, d'shori l'mimah v'shabata. Rava says, what, is, could it possibly be that a man doesn't know that it's mutter to do bris milah on Shabbos? At the time of the Gemara, there were certain basic laws, certain laws of Judaism that were known to everybody. And even today, many, many people, even if they're not well-versed in halacha, know this particular halacha, that bris milah, even though it involves something that otherwise would be a Shabbos violation, is allowed to be done on Shabbos as the Torah itself rules. So Rava is asking himself, why did this man come to ask me, is it mutu to do bris milah on Shabbos? That's something that everybody knows. Also basrei. So Rava followed the man. Omar le, emoli easy, but kindly tell me now, gufa de'uva hechehava, what was the incident behind which you are asking your question? Omar le. So the man says, you know, I was asking about, is it mutu to do bris milah on Shabbos? I'll tell you what happened. Shamis Vlad, ditzavitz apanya demali shabbatam. I heard a child screaming. Tzavitz is screaming on Erev Shabbos, and we're talking about Friday, late Friday. And the child that whose voice I heard was still inside its mother. Velo isyalid ad Shabbatam, and it didn't actually come out of the mother until Shabbos. So I heard crying, but didn't see any baby. And I only saw the baby on Shabbos, when it emerged only at that point. Amalei, so Rava says, hi, ha-ha, that case is Hoitzi Roshe Chutz LeProzdor Hu. That's a case of the baby's head emerging from the Prozdor and was in the Beis Hachitzon. And that's what you heard. You heard the cries of a baby when its head was in the Beis Hachitzon. And as such, that was its birth. Its birth was really on Friday. We have a rule that you're allowed to do bris milah on Shabbos only if Shabbos is the eighth day of the baby's life. In this case, if you say the birth took place on Friday, Shabbos is not the eighth day Shabbos. The following Shabbos would be the ninth day of the baby's life. That's not the official milah time. V'havi milah shelo bezmano, that would be called milah, but not at its official time. V'chol milah shelo bezmano, whenever you're going to do a bris milah, not at its official eighth day, ein mechalen aleha es a Shabbos. That kind of milah cannot violate, or cannot overrule Shabbos. And hence, it's Rava is saying to himself, it's lucky I caught the guy in time before he went ahead and did the milah on Shabbos, because it would not have been allowed. Now, what do we see from the Rava story? What we see from here is that the fact that the baby was still inside the mother, but it had reached the Beis Hachitzon, that is enough to have it considered been born. And as we said before, it's at that point that the mother would become Tamea Tumas Leda. Bear in mind that all of this ties back into our attempt to explain the source that we saw on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And structurally, as you look back over the Gemara, we have these two crown shapes. As we learned, the Gemara, these were the two attempts of the Gemara to explain that phrase on of the source, Yoledes is Metames Bifnim Kibachutz. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We have a diamond, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature the diamond, and we have noted there are Shtei She'elois, two questions. One concerns Mokoim Ho'isha, and another as a place in the woman, and the second one concerns Mokum Nevelas Oftar, the place that one swallows the dead kosher variety bird. And the question will be Balua Oi Beis Hastorim. Is this considered Balua or Beis Hastorim? These are two terms that are relevant to Tumah communication. Balua, if something is in a state of absorption, ain tuma, there is no tuma whatsoever. If it's in a state of called beis hastorim, then shayach hasam tumas masa. That if something is not absorbed, but rather beis hastorim is hidden or concealed, then there is tumah. If you're going to talk in terms of tumas masa as opposed to tumas maga, there's no tumas maga. Maga is contact. Masa is support. This, at this point, it might sound a little bit abstract or vague, but maybe through going on in the Gemara and seeing practical examples, we will come to appreciate the difference between balua versus beis hastorim. Even though we have mentioned tuma balua up till now a couple times in today's shiur. So we continue in the Gemara. As we said, these diamonds represent questions regarding specific locations, and how do we categorize them? Do we categorize them as balua or beis hastorim? Ibayalaho, oisai mokoim shel isha. The oisai mokom is the area in which, when intimacy takes place, so the area of that part of the woman's anatomy, that internal area, how do we call that? What, how do we view that? Is that called bolua, or is it beis hastorim? Lamai nafkamina. What practical difference is there for us? Kigoin shetochva lo chaverto kezayas nivela oisai mokom. It rather sounds a little bit contrived, but as many of you know, when you're learning Gemara, the cases that sound a bit odd at face value, they have vast applications in many, many other areas, so that one's eyebrow does not need to get raised when learning these cases, but rather has to be rather very broad-minded and inventive even to see the application of these cases to many other areas of halacha. So for our purposes, though, we continue here with a literal explanation or a literal description of what took place. Someone came along and inserted a piece of nevela. Nevela is dead animal meat into the woman at that particular point of her body. So it's now inserted into there. The woman into whom it's inserted, she did not touch the meat. She didn't have any. She was passive, so to speak. This other woman came and shoved it in over there. E amris bolua havi tuma blua lo matama. If you say that part of the woman's anatomy is called bolua, that something that's inside of her is called bolua, so the lady is not tamei. The lady that now has the nevela inside of her, she's not tamei. The amris beis hastorim havi. If you have, however, categorize it as beis hastorim. Granted that the fact that it's touching the woman inside of her, she would not become tamea through mago. However, when something is in a base hastorim, the person who is supporting it or is carrying it becomes tamea. That's called tumas masa. Abaye Omar, Abaye in answering the question says, Balua have Rava Omar beis hastorim have. So you have a machlokes here, Abaye and Rava, how to categorize that area. Omar Rava, Mino Amino Law, from where do I know to say that it's called beis hastorim? Tisanyo, we have a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source is something that we learned back on Mem Aleph Omid Beis. And it mentions we described a woman who had shichvas zera inside of her. We were dealing with the poletes shichvas zera, and in that context, it said elo mitnei shetumas. It said elo mitnei shetumas beis hastorim hi, the tumas beis hastorim lo matama elo shigzeras hakosuv hi. So we had seen that a source, as we said back on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, referring to the issue of a woman and Shichva Zera and its ability to communicate Tuma. And we had a Gzeres HaKosov that said that since you're dealing here with a case of Beis HaStorim, and generally speaking, beis hastorim should not communicate. There shouldn't be any tuma communication, but there is a gzeres hakosuv. So, what do we see for our purposes from that quote? We see that that place on the woman is categorized as beis hastorim and not categorized as Bolua. Ve'abaye, Abaye who said that that place is called Bolua, what does he say about this Tanaic source? Chado v'oid komar. This source is really presenting one of two stages. Chado, the tuma Bolua, he. First of all, there should be no tuma with regard to the woman because it is Bolua. It's really Bolua. And even if you say that it's considered Beis HaStorim, Eino Metama, it wouldn't be Metama her. Elo Shigzeras HaKosati, if not for the fact that the Torah rules that she is Tamea. So as far as Abaye is concerned, this source is only giving you, what we'll say, part of the story, but in principle, the Oysa Mokam of the Isha really is Balua. Ibaya Laho, the Gemara continues with a new question. Mokim Nevelas Oif Tahor, the part of a person's body when he is swallowing food, that's the place of the Nevelas Oif Tahor. We know that when a person is swallowing Nevelas Oif Tahor, he becomes Tomei. That point at which a person becomes tumic when swallowing, balua have or beis hastorim have. How do we categorize that part of a person's throat that's responsible for swallowing? Notice we have a bracketed section, and the purpose of the brackets is simply to say that up till now the basic question has been raised. Inside the brackets, the Gemara gives you the nafkamina between Bolua versus Beis HaStorim. But after the brackets, you'll notice we enter the answer mode immediately, where Abaye says it's Bolua and Rava says it's Beis HaStorim. So the Gemara in the brackets, that having been said, realizing that the answer follows the brackets, the Gemara asks here, Lamai nafkamina, what practical difference is there? We should have pointed out, by the way, that this same structure that we featured now, we really saw before in the previous question, where the Gemara asked regarding the Irsimokam Shal Isha, is it Bolua or Beis HaStorim, and the Gemara had done the same thing with the what's the Nafgamina, and then following that section, Rava, Abaye and Rava offered their answers, so that we failed to note in our shir just now, but better late than never, that the brackets appear there with the same structure. So, reading the brackets now, Lamai Nafgamina, what difference does it make whether you call the area of the Mokum Nevelas Oif Tahor as Bolua or Beis HaStorim? Kagon Shetochav Lo Chavero Kezayas Nevelo Lesoch Piv. Someone came along and shoved a piece of dead animal meat into his mouth, back into the back of his throat. E Amris Bolua Have, if you say that that place is called Bolua, then the person in whose throat this Nevela is now lodged, Tuma Balua Lo Matanya. It's Tuma Balua, and the person would not become Tomei whatsoever. My Amris. Beis HaStorim Have. Do you want to say that it's Beis HaStorim? Mihi Nami Devimaga Lo Matama, Bemasa Miha Matama. If you don't want to say it's Balua, and you want to say it's Beis HaStorim, so then we'll have to say that there is no tumah communicated through contact. However, the person will be tumah because of the fact that he is supporting it now in his body, and he's supporting it at a point of Beis HaStorim, and that in Beis HaStorim there is tumas masa. So the question is raised, how do we look at that place in the throat? Abaye Omar Bolua Have, Rava Omar Beis HaStorim Have. According to Abaye, it's Bolua, and it's like it's not there at all. There's nothing there, there's no Tumah. And Rava says it's Beis HaStorim, and therefore the man will be Tamei for Tumas Nevela, because he is supporting it in his body. Omar Abaye, we have a marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara, which we call a long point. Abaye says, Mino Amino La, from where do I know that there is, from where do I know to say what I am saying? There's a long point. It's the Nun represents a Nekuda. That's a point with a vertical descending dashed line, which takes you down to the second of the wide lines of the Gemara. So the Rabbi says, Mino Amino La. This Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. Yochol tehei nevelas behema mitama begodim abeis abliya? Could it be that dead animal meat would mitama a person's clothing while he is swallowing it? Tamud lomar nevela utrefa lo yochal l'toma ba. Mi she'ein lo tuma elo achilosa. That which has tuma only through eating, that's a reference to dead kosher variety bird. Yofsazu, to the exclusion of nevelas behema, dead animal meat, she tumea koidem sheochlena, that is able to communicate tuma before you eat it. So we have a pasuk nevelu trefa lo yochal l'toma bo. That's a reference to the nevelas of tohor that communicates tuma only through eating. As we mentioned earlier, it's a very unique area of halacha where there is no tuma through contact or supporting, but only through eating. So in that case, we say that a person who eats nevelas of tohor, he will become tame, and the clothing that he is wearing as well. This is in opposition to, or in contrast with, standard nevela, dead animal meat, which has tuma before one eats it. In other words, if one touches it before he eats it, he becomes tame. So the Gemara asks, but still, the tesi b'kal v'chomer minevela sof tor. Why not learn through kal v'chomer logic, using as your basis nevela sof tor, to conclude that that while eating a dead carcass, dead animal meat, you will have tumas begodim. And why not reason as follows? Uman nevelas of tor she'ein lo tuma b'chutz, yesh lo tuma b'fnim. Mind you, the nevelas of tor that doesn't have any external tuma, but does generate tuma b'fnim when you're swallowing it, zu the nevelas behema, she'yesh bo tuma b'chutz, that has a possibility of tuma when still outside, eino din, she'yesh lo tuma b'fnim, certainly there should be tuma communicated when one is swallowing it. And as we said, when one is swallowing it, to metame the clothing that he is wearing. Omakro ba. There is a limitation expression by the nevelas of tohor where it says ba hulo bacheres. The tuma described by the nevelas of tohor, that he becomes tome and the clothing that he's wearing as well while he is swallowing it, is applicable only to it. Im kein ma tamalom v'ochel. If it's so that there's no tuma bebeis ablia by the nevelas behema Torah, so why does the pasuk by the nevelas behema Torah say v'ho ochel? It speaks there about eating, but you're telling me now that there is no eating tuma when you're dealing with the nevelas behema Torah. And we have to emphasize again, like the main point. This is Abaye's point of view. And he's reflecting it through this discussion where there is no tuma whatsoever when one is swallowing the meat of the behema, of the nevelas behema. No tuma whatsoever because it is a place of bolua. Well, if that's the case, so why does the pasuk in dealing with the eating of behema, nevelas behema, why does it speak about the ha'ochel? So the Gemara answers that the reason it says ha'ochel, which means eating, liten shi'ur lenogea lenose ke'ochel. It's to tell us the quantity of tuma of nevelas behema in the event that someone touches it or carries it. It has the same shi'ur as the prohibition of eating. Now, we speak about the prohibition of eating, not to be confused with tuma. There is an iser in eating nevelas behema. What is the quantity? Ma oichel b'kezayis. Just like in the eating, there's a prohibition if you eat an olive quantity of it. Af nogea v'nosei b'kezayis. So too, tuma will be communicated through nevelas behema, through contact or support, if it is a kezayis. However, just let us go over this, the main point of the last number of lines. Abaye saw fit, or saw as a basis for his point, that the swallowing area of a person is called bolua, and that we saw from the Tanaic source that featured the swallowing of behema, of nevelas behema. And In that source, we saw that through the swallowing of Nevelas Behemoth, there is no Tumah communicated to the person. As far as the source was concerned, there's no Tumah communicated to the person's clothing, Abeis Hablio, when he is swallowing the Nevelas Behemoth meat. Why is there no Tumah communicated? Because that is called Baldu'a. And only with regard to Nevelas Oftar, that there is Tumah, but that's because the Torah dictates thusly. We call that Exeris HaKosuv. But otherwise, Beis Hablia would be a place that no Tumah is communicated. Omar Rava. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the outside margin, the Nosei, Hashpois Shel Tumah HaNimtza B'Kumtei Shel Adam. The effect that Tumah, the different kinds of Tumah may have when it is in a fold on a person's body, a body fold. Omar Rava, Sheretz B'Kumtei Tahor. Kumto is a, Rashi says, Kigon Bein Atzilov Oshar Kimotim. An example of this would be something in one's armpit. So if there was a dead sheretz in one's armpit, the person would be tohor. Tumah is not communicated. A sheretz is an example of tumas mago. There's no tumas maso on sheretz. So since the sheretz communicates its tumah through the mago method, through the contact method, but when something is called beis hastorim, we said before there is no tumah communicated, so therefore the person is tor. Nevela bekumto tome, if there is some nevela meat, a kezias of nevela, of dead animal meat, in a person's body fold, he will become tome. Sheretz bekumto tor, sheretz benegihu demetamu beis hastorim, lav bar magahu. When we spoke about the sheretz in the body fold, so the person is tor because the sheretz communicates its tumah through negi'ah, and beis hastorim is not a place where negi'ah has effect. Nevela bekumtoi tomei. If there is nevela meat in the person's body fold, he will become tomei. Nehi de bemagalo metama. Granted, there's no tumas maga at that point. However, bemaso mia metama. But in when something is located in the beis hastorim, there is tumas maso. The fact is that the man is supporting it or carrying it in that part of his body. Sheretz bekumto v'ichniso la'avir hatanur mai. Let us say a person had a dead sheretz in his body fold, and then when it's in his body fold, he enters a tanur. So the Gemara says, tome. The tanur will become tome. Maybe a word of introduction to this is as follows: a tanur is an earthenware oven. And the Torah rules that if someone were to suspend without any contact with the walls of the tanur of this earthenware oven, if someone were to suspend in its airspace a dead sheretz, the tanur becomes tomei. So tumah is communicated through airspace called avir tanur. We just described a person that entered the airspace of a tanur with a sheretz in his body fold. So there's no contact with the walls of the tanur. The Gemara says the tanur is tomei. To that, the Gemara asks, "Well, pshita, that's obvious. Why do I need to be taught that? After all, that's the rule of a tanur, that when a dead sheretz is in its airspace, the tanur becomes tomei." So the Gemara answers like this: why do I have to be taught this? Mahu detemo toichi rachmona. The Pasuk says, Kol asher b'socho yitmo. B'tocho means inside of it. So the Torah uses the word tocho with regard to the kli sheretz, to the kli cheres, that is. When the sheretz is in the airspace of the kli cheres, the tanur becomes tomei. The Gemara continues here at the top of Mem Gimel Amar Aleph. V'loi toich toichai. Not something that is in a double container. So I might have thought that the word tocho is coming to the exclusion of the case of toch tocho. And in our case, let us say the person had a dead sheretz in his armpit and then entered a tanur in that fashion. So the sheretz is contained within the person, and it's the person that's entering the tanur. And as far as the sheretz relative to the tanur, one might have thought to categorize that as within a double container. That's toch tocho. And therefore, there should be no tumah communicated to the tanur. By the way, there is an example of tochel. That would be a case of a dead sheretz inside a vessel, and the vessel walls are taller than that of the tanur. So if someone put a narrow vessel into a tanur, but the narrow vessel which contained the sheretz had walls at sides that were higher than the tanur in fact would not become tomei. And that's a function of this particular limud of tochel v'lo toch tochel. However, with regard to our person with the sheretz in his armpit who's entering the tanur, komash malon, we come to tell you that that situation is not a case of toich toichel, and hence the tanur will become tomei. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.